It says over here that one of the reasons why Yosef gave special leave to the Kohanim, the teachers, the priestly class in Egypt, he freed them from the tax that he imposed on everybody else. He took their everything and they became slaves, and they had to give a fifth of all their produce to the Pharaoh. They were free of that tax. They were free of this business about selling themselves as slaves. And during the entire time of famine, he supported them. It was because when Potiphar understood that Yosef was a moral person, that he wouldn't have done it. He knew his wife better. But he needed to be able to protect Yosef against being executed, because that was a crime which had gone to the courts, as is, he would have been executed. So they went to the Kohanim, they went to this priestly class, and he brought his wife's proof. His wife's proof was that he brought the sheet, and she had taken the white of an egg and poured it on the sheet as a proof that he had been there and that this was... So the Kohanim said, well, there's a difference between the chemistry of semen and the chemistry of a white of an egg. They gave him a test by which he was able to demonstrate that it was the white of an egg. So he knew that she had fabricated the whole story, and that allowed him to ask the court to jail him rather than executing him. So Yosef was indebted to the priestly class of Egypt for their intervention. So he freed them from all of the taxes, and he supported them because of the role that they played in saving him. Somewhere I saw that the pharaohs were not indigenous rulers. They didn't come up from the people. They were conquerors. And that basically they were resented by the people, and that there was always a fear of insurrection. Yosef sought to make this impossible by turning them all into slaves, in which case there would be no legal standing for them to overthrow the throne, and they would be in a position where they saw themselves as having, of their own will, committed themselves rule of the throne, that they would be servants of the throne. I mean, the Medrash says that he did this because he wanted to protect the dignity of his brothers, that they were going to come down to Egypt. They were already in Egypt at the time that he did this, I think, and that they would consider the brothers strangers, and he wanted to turn them all into strangers. So he exiled the entire country from their own communities and moved them to other regions, and everybody turned out to be strangers, and maybe to whatever extent that there was still some onus of his being a slave or having been a slave. So he turned the entire nation into a nation that carried that mark, so that they would not be able to hold themselves above him. The question was, why did Hashem allow... I mean, these were very righteous people. Why did he allow events to play out in that way? It's a very delicately nuanced concept. Good and evil are defined by forces that either give themselves up to God or forces that separate themselves from God. So when people act selfishly or self-indulgently, where their intent and their objectives are for self, they are at that moment they're separated from the divine presence and the divine beneficence. There is in people a very subtly felt sense which comes from the whole purpose of creation. Creation was made involving choice so that people would be the legitimate, as it were, the legitimate possessors of the reward which God gave, that they would deserve it because they had faced tests and challenges and trials and tribulations, that they had been all these different times in their lives. There were all of these different choices they had to make, and choices which tore them in both directions. They elected to follow the Hashem's Ratzon, God's will, and because they elected to follow God's will, therefore they became deserving of a relationship with Hashem, and that relationship becomes the means through which Hashem passes on his presence to them, his blessing to them. So there is, in every person, there is a sense that they need to be the proprietors of the blessing. The problem is that that sense of proprietorship, when it's exploited by evil, it becomes self-indulgent, becomes selfish, becomes, I want more and I want more and I want more. I mean, the person has this need for proprietorship and misinterprets it and misplaces it into the desire for more and more things that separate him from God, because it's the objective is all to make the me richer in a way which is separate from God, not closer to God. So the greatest tzaddikim were those who recognized that being the proprietor of something doesn't follow. Here's the way it follows in evil. In evil is, I take possession of it, and because I take possession of it, then I can enjoy it. I make it mine. By making it mine, I now can indulge myself with it. In Kedusha, it is, I make myself worthy. That worthiness creates the wherewithal so that God will want to relate to me, and only after he relates to me am I its proprietor. It's mine only after I have experienced it. So that in this paradigm between good and evil, evil takes possession and then whatever it is, he experiences. In Kedusha, you experience, and that experiencing gives you possession. So what evil does is to confuse people and to muddle their thinking by exploiting the need for proprietorship to take the form of acquisition rather than proprietorship of integrity, which gives you legitimacy to experience something, that you become proprietor by being worthy. So it's all different. But nonetheless, what happens is that when it's misinterpreted by man, because evil dazzles us sufficiently so that taking advantage of our legitimate need for proprietorship, that which the Almighty wanted us to have, it misdirects us into a place where we grow more and more distant from God by just filling ourselves with this arrogance of acquisition. From the very beginning, evil was able to trap Adam and Chava by saying to them, there's this tree that you don't own. You don't own this tree. You know, somehow, if you own this tree, if you made this acquisition, Cain and Hevel, it was all about acquisition. The Chum and Canaan, their chait with Noah, was all about acquisition. It was all about mine, yours. It's all about selfishness. One of the lessons that history is supposed to teach us is that that is always destructive. We're supposed to learn from what happened to Adam and Chava, and what happened to Cain and Hevel, and what happened to Noach. If we were to learn from history, we would see that every time that this acquisition reared its head, it ended up in tragedy. That's how it was with Adam, that's how it was with Cain, and that's how it was with Chum and Canaan. And now that's what's happening here with the brothers and Yosef. If either one of them had, and we're talking now way about in kind of in our terms, because in their terms, obviously, they were people of such greatness that it took a much less offensive form. But the way in which it comes down to us is that had they been able to be less preoccupied with something that they felt was a threat to their proprietorship, had they been more charitable in judgment, had they been able to look out of themselves rather than into themselves, then this whole business with Yosef would not have played out the way it is. The Almighty could have orchestrated events to get him to go to Egypt without this whole business. So the fact that the brothers made these choices allowed Hashem to orchestrate events through their unfortunate choices. But there was Bechira. The reason that somehow that the Rabbeinu Shalom allowed for this Bechira is because he wanted us to learn a basic principle. You know, pay attention. Whenever you're acting out of ego, you're going to end up someplace that you don't need to be. Why did Hashem allow events to play out in that way. In short, the answer is that because in letting them play out that way, there are lessons in history that we're supposed to pay attention to, which is that whenever people operate, they may think that they're the most noble causes, but if at the base of that noble cause is any form of selfishness or ego, it ends up in tragedy. Maybe we should title it, Why Do I Need to Be the Boss?